the banquet of the 2011 convention of the National Federation of the Blind of New York State is in order. I have in my hand a $50 bill, and it's going to go to someone. It comes from the New York City chapter. And Julie, who do I give it to? Brooke Jensen. Brooke Jensen. Not here. Draw again. I think you should read me a name. Jason Mehta, JJ. Here you go. Thank you. God bless Bob. We gotta thank Bob here. He's just always on the spot here helping us out. Okay. Well, ladies and gents, I thought we'd start out by, I want you to think about a question for me. I'd like you to, before we play a game, maybe we should pray. Hello? So, behind me right here, I have David Stayer. It has been his job for some time to open our banquet with a prayer, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you my friend and colleague, David Stayer.
Shalom. Our God and God of our fathers, grant us your wisdom and your peace, not just at this banquet, but as we travel home tomorrow, so that we may continue to do the work of the National Federation of the Blind and not make life just better for blind New Yorkers, but for all New Yorkers and all Americans. Oh, say shalom bimramav, uya say shalom aleinu, ve'akah Yisrael, bimru, amen. Yaha say shalom, shalom aleinu, ve'akah Yisrael. Yah say shalom, shalom aleinu, v'yakol Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Amen.
Thank you so much, David. Always a pleasure. Now, just a quickie, icky little thing I want you to think about for me. I want you to think about one of the funniest experiences you have had with sighted people misunderstanding what you were doing. Okay? I want to know what is one of the funniest experiences that you've had with sighted people misunderstanding what you were doing, whether that is when you were walking down the street or sitting at a table and reaching for something, or I can think of a whole bunch of situations, and I bet you can too. In a couple of minutes, I'm gonna call again and ask if anybody has anything. We are streaming tonight, just so you know, so make your story, clean and acceptable. And if it wasn't clean and acceptable at the time, could you please clean it up and make it acceptable? Yes, okay, knew it. So if you would like to write to us at this banquet and let us know that you're listening, we are at convention@nfbny.org. convention@nfbny.org. Do I have a phone? I have a phone. That's not the question. Here we go. We are going to, I'm going to give you a phone number to call if you would like to communicate with us, or you may also text. That number is 917-834-0681. 917-834-0681. And so that's our info. We'll announce it again a few times. And we hope that you will enjoy our banquet. And we hope that we will too. We believe we will. So now everybody is eating, and so I'm going to let you do that. And I'm going to actually sit down. You're not hearing me? Thank you. Oh, thank you for telling me. Okay. Did you catch what I was saying to you about what to think about? Can you hear me now? I feel like I'm doing a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? The back of the room. People toward the back of the room, can you tell me if you can hear me? You know what the problem is? Every time you do this, you pop peas. It's just unfortunate. It's the kind of connection we have on our microphone. But so forgive my... I've been wanting to yell at people all day long for popping peas, and now it's me. All right. So here's what I'd like you to think about. I'd like you to think about the funniest experience that you have had where a sighted person has misunderstood what you were doing. Whether it was eating at a table or walking down the street and they thought you were going somewhere, you weren't really going to go. Now, that happens all the time, but there needs to be a funny twist to it. Okay? So don't just tell me that you walked down the street and somebody turned you in the wrong direction, because that just happens to us all the time. We got a song about that called The Helping Song, but we ain't singing it tonight. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would like you to think about. Think of an experience that you've had. Keep it clean and acceptable. Sorry for those of you listening on the internet. You have to hear this speech twice. All right. Go ahead and eat. I will do the same, and we'll be back in touch in just a little while.
I'm on the phone right now with Denver, Colorado. We are being streamed. We are being picked up in Denver, Colorado. Everybody say hi to Marianne. You remember Marianne? Guys, Marianne is picking us up out in Denver. Can you hear them? Marianne, can you hear them? You there? I don't know if I can put you on. Let me see if I can put you on a speaker for a second. Are you on speaker now? I'm going to hold this phone by the mic. I'm not sure if this is going to work. Okay, are you still there, Marianne?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm not sure I can get this phone much louder. I'm going to try. I'm going to push my button. Okay, let me try one more time. I'm holding it up by the microphone. No, that's not working. Hey. Okay, I'm back on the phone with you. Okay, did you hear them yell for you?
Cool. All right, so, I'll say Heidi on the internet one more time.
I know I'm on the phone with you, Marianne, but I just thought I'd say hi to you over the internet too. Hey, Marianne. Call up your colleagues out there in Colorado and tell them to get on the internet with us. Call up Scott and tell him I've listened to him. He ought to listen to me. Actually, call him up and tell him he ought to listen to Anil in a little while.
Could I get your attention for just a moment? I promise I won't keep it long. Friends, would you take your tickets out so that the staff knows exactly what you ordered? If you would get your tickets out, they are required in order for you to get a dinner in any event, so it'd be a real good idea. So do please take your tickets out and have them ready. Thank you.
Hey, folks, this will take about 1 minute, but I really think it's worth hearing. The history, I'm asked occasionally, and I was asked by the board to try to think of a little snippet from Federation history to give us at the banquet or over this convention. And nothing occurred to me until a couple of days ago. And I was perusing some old monitors. And I came across a monitor from August of 58. Online. Anila said he said that in his report this morning. And there were a couple of snippets in it. I didn't take the whole article. I just cut and pasted a couple of, maybe a paragraph or two. But I'm going to ask Chancey to read that article. It's about a time in our history when this is a report. We now call them convention miniatures in the monitor. But this is a report from the National Convention in Boston of 1958. The article was written by George Card. So for those of you who have any inkling of Federation history, this is what happened. I'm going to step aside for a second and ask Chancey to read it. I just want to say one word to him.
Where is that microphone? Here it is. Hi.
Hi.
Is everybody awake?
Yo.
No food coma yet? Yes. All right. Who knows what year the Federation was founded? Thank you. Who knows what city? That's right. And by the way, I was talking about precision earlier. That's one of those words that you can never spell if you just hear it with the screen reader. All right. I'm going to read this passage that Carl has given to me from 1958. The convention had gotten underway shortly after 10 o'clock on the morning of July 4th. Like all other daily sessions, it began with an invocation of divine blessing by a local clergyman. Then came the traditional roll call of the states. As the name of each of the 45 Federation states was pronounced, the chairman of its delegation rose and announced the names of those present from his state. All, that is, except Massachusetts, the host affiliate, whose representatives were far too numerous to be named individually. Of the visiting delegations, that from New York appeared to be the largest, with some 47 members on hand. When Pete Roydell of Buffalo, chairman of the Empire State Delegation and president of that affiliate, rose to his feet in his first convention attendance and began to name off the members of his delegation, it was a proud moment for those of us who have had at least some small part in the development of our 2.5-year-old New York affiliate. That moment must have been an especially thrilling one for Ray Dinsmore of Brooklyn, who has labored so many years to bring about the formation of a great NFB organization in his adopted state. Pete Roydell, the New York president, has qualities of leadership which will inevitably make themselves felt in future conventions. Wilbur Webb, Pete's Rochester neighbor, has tremendous ability, complete loyalty to the NFB, and an amazingly full and accurate grasp of its philosophy. Maybe next year. He has every quality of leadership except self-assertiveness. And it is to be hoped that this potentially valuable leader can overcome his false modesty and speak out so that he can be heard by all the country.
Thanks. Does anybody think Wilbur has overcome his modesty? Sorry? Sorry? Linda, yeah, go ahead, Linda. Yeah. Yeah, we knew. Oh, okay, let me repeat that for the audience. Linda Webb over here is Pete Roydell's widow and Wilbur Webb's wife. You got it from both sides, Linda. Linda, you can tell me, has Wilbur overcome his false modesty? Has he overcome his modesty? He's working on it. This affiliate has a great history, and I think we need to recognize those who made it possible for those of us today to be here. There are a couple of people in this room. Among them right now in my mind is Linda and Wilbur and Vinny and Laura. Those are the ones that come to my mind. I don't think they have any competition. Thank you for laying the path for us. I give you back to the mistress of ceremonies.
I think that little bit. So did anybody think of a funny story where you were misunderstood by somebody? Cited. David. David Stair has one. Hold on. We'll get you a mic so that the internet can hear you too. Really? I'm practically eating the sucker.
Okay, can you, what? Is it on? Yeah.
Sure, I understand. I understand completely. Okay. So, but David has a tale to tell. I wonder if we could just give him our attention for a few minutes here. Can we give David our attention? David, you'll have to eat that microphone like it was an ice cream cone.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Just don't get any further away than that.
I had just finished high school, and I was going through a month of orientation, and they were having some new instructors at Helen Keller, and I was in my mobility session, I was sent out to buy a blindfold.
So I got
to the pharmacy, and I said, I need a blindfold, but it's not for me.
Oh, that's cute.
And that's the story. It's true.
And you needed a blindfold, but it wasn't for him. Anybody else got a story for me? I got Kate Mendez, and I heard somebody. Oh, Laura. Okay, why don't we get Kate? She's in the front here, and then we'll get to you, Laura.
Hold on.
Okay, first Kate. Kate's in the back, too.
Runs in the family.
Boy, Laura's further forward than you are. I think not. Yeah, Mary Lou says she got it from her.
It's
coming. The microphone's on its way.
I'm just trying to turn it up. Hold on.
Okay, got it. Sorry to cut you off, Mindy, in that beautiful serenade.
Go ahead.
This is actually not just my story. This is for every guide dog user who's ever had to clean up after their dog. Not a gross story, I promise, but people who curb their dogs. How many people in this room have been trying to curb your dog and your dog's doing what, you know, they're hanging out, sniffing, looking around, have to find the perfect spot, and some poor sighted fool walks up to you and goes, Miss, do you want to cross the street?
Yeah, right.
It happens all the time. And it's like, seriously, do I look like I'm crossing the street? What does this look like to you?
But well, it looks to them like you don't know what you're doing. I mean, it just amazes me.
That's
you're
you
standing there minding your own business and you don't know what you're doing.
That's when you pick up what you've got there and go, here, this is for you.
Okay. We need to go to Laura.
Laura Herman.
Thank you. Okay, this.
Okay, Laura, you got to get closer to that microphone. Eat it like you would an ice cream cone. I'm pretty near.
From the top or the side? Oh, here we go. Okay.
Okay, let's give her a listen. Laura doesn't have as big a mouth as a lot of us, so please let's listen to her.
This happened in my senior year of high school at the New York State School for the Blind. The Girl Scouts from Batavia invited the sighted Girl Scouts from the town of Batavia. So we were all swimming in the pool and having a good time. I dove off the board And suddenly somebody grabbed my leg. And it was another girl. No, wait a minute. And she grabbed my leg and I says, oh, it's one of those sighted people who think they're funny. So I sort of kicked her a little. I kicked a bit so she wouldn't hang on to my leg. I took a few strokes and she grabbed my leg again. And I said, this is the end. Wait till I get this girl. I'll show her what's what. So I put my arm out and it landed under her chin. So I did the side strokes with my one arm around her neck and the other arm stroking. And then all of a sudden I heard all these footsteps running. And somebody said, Laura, grab that pole. And I grabbed the pole and we got to the side of the pool. And everybody was congratulating me for saving the girl's life. And I never told the truth. I was such a chicken. I'm so ashamed of myself.
That's great. That's a wonderful story. We have a, okay, great. Who is that? Wilbur? Okay, if you could take it back to Wilbur. And I just want to ask a question. Laura, was she drowning before or after you cuffed her under the chin? Oh, well, when she got her chin, her head was above water, so I don't know.
Okay, before I start my story, I just want to add to Carl's little story about Peter and myself. He didn't tell you that was in a magazine prior to the Monitor, which was known as True Story. Now, I was downtown in Syracuse, and I was crossing one of the streets downtown, and a mendicant said, do you have a quarter? And I says, no, I don't. He said, I'm not speaking to you, blind man.
Whoa. Oh. Whoa. Anybody else? Romeo. Romeo's got one.
All right. Oh, my goodness. All right, so this.
Okay, here's Romeo with a fun story.
This story.
Okay, wait a second. We can't hear you yet. Hold on a minute. I just need y'all to quiet down for me.
Turn it off and turn it on.
Okay, not hearing you.
All right, I think they can hear me now.
There we go.
So this story actually is not about me, but it's pretty funny. A guy told me one time that he was online someplace, and it was a pretty long line, and so he's moving up, and then after some time, he felt like he kind of got turned around, and maybe he got off the line because he was tapping something in front of him, and it was like making a sound that obviously wasn't a human leg, you know. So he says, oh, damn, I don't know what happened. I must have wandered out of line. And then all of a sudden a voice turns to him and says, oh, now don't worry about it. That's just me. I got a wooden leg.
Now, is this really funny, Sue, or is it just a story about something that... All right, hold on. Let's get Sue a mic.
Who's up, Mindy?
Okay.
Mindy, who am I going to?
Yeah, Mike. Okay. Sue, you have to wait for a mic.
Okay. The dog was near me, right? So I said to the woman that owned said, I said, what does she want? She says, I don't know. She maybe wants something you have. I said, I'm not giving her anything because I don't want her to get sick. Well, she did. She licked my foot twice. And I said to her, I was one that thought somebody was being funny to me. So then Jim said that was the dog. And he went to Jim, did the same thing to him. Then later on, she wanted to come back with us home. I said, no, you can't because I can't have a dog.
Okay. Anybody else? Oh, wait, we got one up front.
Who's not? I can only take it.
Okay, wait a second. I've got one up front. Up front. Is that Mary Lou? Mary Lou, up front here.
Mary Lou?
Right up front. Raise your hand. Okay, can we give Mary Lou our attention, friends? I was asking a question, but I really meant it as an order. Can we give her our attention? That means give her our attention.
Be careful, guys. I'll use my mom voice, and Kate knows what that's like.
Go ahead. You have to almost eat that thing, Mary Lou.
I used to work in the medical center, the VA medical center in Syracuse, and I used to... Yay! And I used to take the bus to work, and when I got off, I had to walk across the street and walk down a hill to get to the next crossing, which was a fairly busy street, and then cross that and go to the hospital. So I'm cruising down this hill one day with my guide dog, and we're walking at a pretty good clip, right? We're cruising right along, and I get almost to the corner, and I hear all these brakes of all these cars. They're slamming on their brakes in front of me, but I'm not to the curb yet. I'm like, wow, what's going on? Maybe there's an accident. You know, I don't know what's going on. And this man comes running up in front of me from the direction where I'm going to cross, and he says to me, ma'am, be careful. The light's red. The guy ran across the street against the traffic to tell me that the light was red.
So they were honking at the guy running to you. And then Chansey, did you say you had one? Okay, Chansey's got a quick one. And then we'll... I'm not either, man. I'm not going there.
Hiding Chansey in the back corner over here.
That's okay. So,
try turning in a different direction. Sometimes that helps.
And this is worse than AT&T.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, I think I got the sweet. What can I do to make this stop?
So, if the speaker's to your left, try turning to your right.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm in the grocery store, and I'm three. With my dad. Sitting in the little seat with my feet going through the little seat feet things on the cart, top part of the cart, just chilling. This older lady comes along and she says to me, little girl, if you keep rolling your eyes up that way, they're gonna get stuck. And I said, wouldn't matter, I'm blind anyway, and I can't tell you what happened next because she got gone so fast.
That's great. Well, that's a good note to end on for now. If you have more, we may have time later, but right now... Hello, friends. It's looking to me like the horses are starting to get restless, and so... We are about to start the horse race, and let me just make it at the back of the room. Let them line up at the back of the room like Joe did. Okay? So go all the way to the back of the room. And you'll come up all the way to the back of the room, everybody. Yep, other end, completely facing this way. Then you'll face me, all right? And you can get ready for the horse race. And we'll tell you all how it works. Several people have bet on these horses. And I would like to... Oh, wait a second. They're working it out up here. You know what I'm saying? They're like working it all out. So you and I can talk for a minute. I have a thought. Since we have to talk for a minute anyway, how about a door prize? Does that work for anybody? All right. So, is anybody here, though? Is anybody still here for a door prize? Oh, yeah. Okay. Seems that way. So, Angie, you got something for us? I'm sorry. I didn't catch it. You have what? Hold on. I need for that other microphone to be quiet. We have an audio book, a back scratcher, and an umbrella. And Julie, who is that going to go to? Vinny Taglerino. Yes. Okay, the horses do not know what number they are. Do you, Julie? Do you? They're in the back of the room. Okay. All right, you ready? You ready? Oh, right. Okay. All right. I'm about to just. Horse number one, Equality, ridden by Romeo. Okay. Horse number two, Freedom, ridden by Arthur. Horse number three, Literacy, ridden by Chansey. Who then? Horse number four, Mobility, ridden by, guess who, Craig. Interestingly, just for those on the internet, if anybody is, mobility horse is a mobility instructor. Okay, and horse number five, Opportunity, ridden by Kate. Horse number six, Security, ridden by Chris. Now, I don't do horse races so well, so I'm going to give you somebody who does. Please welcome with me the president of our affiliate, Carl Jacobson.
Do we have the call? we have the call to quarters yet, Mr. Audio Man? By the way, two members of the clergy are taking care of the dogs. And they're off. Horse number five, Four Steps. When you reach 55, that will be the winner.
Horse number six.
Horse. Two Steps.
Horse number six, Two Steps. I know what I've said it a bunch of times.
Horse number six.
Number six again.
Four Steps.
Four Steps.
Horse number one.
Four Steps.
Number one, Four Steps.
Horse number one.
One again.
Four Steps again.
Go, all right. Go, horse number one.
Horse number five. Three Steps.
Horse number five, Three Steps. The dice are being rolled. Father John is rolling the dice for the horse.
Horse number two.
Number two.
Two Steps.
Two Steps. And Brian is rolling for the number of steps.
Horse number four. One Step.
Oh.
Horse number four. Three Steps.
Nine. Getting close.
Horse number two. Six Steps.
Number two, six. Go, 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 horse.
Horse number two. Four Steps.
Somebody's approved.
Horse number five, Four Steps.
Number five.
Horse number five, Two Steps. Horse number two, Four Steps. Horse number five, Six Steps. Horse number two, Six Steps. Horse number four, two steps. Horse number two steps. There is a three on this die. I looked.
Horsey three.
Horse number six, four steps.
Old glue pot back there.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Horse number three.
Yes.
Take five steps.
You. Come from behind, old glue pot.
She's taking big steps. Horse number five. Two steps.
Those.
Horse number four. Three steps.
Those are the quietest horses I've ever heard.
Horse number four. Three steps. Horse number two. Again, three steps. Horse number three.
Six. Right. Hey, horse number three gets six.
Horse number two, six steps. Horse number five, two steps.
55.
Horse number one, two steps.
Can we do a where they stand now? Where do they stand right
now? The current standing of the horses.
Oh,
horse number one, 10 steps. Horse number two, 33 steps. Horse number three, 11 steps. Horse number four, 12 steps. Horse number five, 23 steps. And horse number six, 10 steps.
So we got a leader here. Sounds to me like five is in
now
the
lead. Now we'll see if he can hold it up in the stretch.
Two's in the lead, obviously.
Horse number four.
Okay.
Four steps. Horse number three steps. Horse number four, two steps. Horse number two, five steps. Horse number two, three steps. Horse number two steps. Horse number one, five steps. Horse number five, one step. Horse number three, one step. Horse number one, four steps. Horse number five, three steps. Horse number four steps. Four steps. Horse number five, three steps. Horse number three.
Circle around a little bit.
One step.
You got big feet. You got horse.
Horse number four. Six steps.
Starting to smell like horses up here.
Horse number three. One step. Horse number six. One step. Horse number three.
Two steps.
Horse number three.
Three steps.
Horse number four. One step. Horse number six. Two steps.
I'm told we're getting up to the stretch here. Coming around the stretch.
Horse number three. Four steps.
Well, there's some horses getting near the stretch up here.
Horse number five, six steps.
We'll leave the light on for Romeo.
Horse number one, four steps.
You guys keeping track of your own steps, I hope?
Horse number five, six steps.
Hey, come on, horse number five. Got a real horse race getting here. It's getting
horse number neck and neck. They're necking up here. Horse number two, three steps.
Freedom and opportunity are neck and neck.
Horse number four. He's happy. He's getting near the bar.
Right.
Horse number one, four steps. Horse number three, three steps. Horse number three, five steps. Horse number five.
Wow, six steps.
Horse number four. Five steps.
We're getting in the home stretch here. Getting in the home stretch. The home stretch, the home stretch is
there's
coming.
Still one poor lonely horse in the back of the room there.
Old glue pot.
Horse number four.
Three steps.
Horse number one.
Four steps.
Yay. Yeah, and the current position of the horses is?
Number one, 31 steps. Number two, 46 steps. Number three, 34 steps. Number four, 42 steps. Number five, 48 steps. And number six, 13 steps.
Oh. All right, we're coming up on 55 real soon here.
Here
got
we
a,
go.
46 and a 48. Let's go.
Number two, horse number two.
Two steps.
Horse number two.
Oh, wow. Four steps.
Getting closer now.
Horse number three.
Six steps.
Horse number two.
Yes, five steps.
You.
Ding, 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 ding. That's a first place winner.
Oh, yeah, got it? Yep. Horse number two.
Horse number two crossed the finish line. Arthur, horse number two, whose name was? Freedom. Oh, freedom.
No. Just wind us.
Now. You're gonna hear the payoff. So if you bet on horse number two, this is what you're going to get. Linda has the names of you. She'll come around and give you all money, or she'll tell me who the people are right now. No, we're not having second and thirds. Unless you want to drive me and Linda crazy with a calculator, we're not doing seconds and thirds. We've already lost our minds on doing first.
Okay, winners, listen up.
All right, listen up. Here come the results. Then the payments will go to the people that Linda names.
If you bet $5 on Freedom, and 11 people did, you win $20. If you bet $10 on Freedom, and only one person did, you win $40.
That's the way it broke down. Lots of bids for $5 and one bid for $10. $20 payoffs and a $40 payoff. $40 payoff to the $10 bet. And a $20 payoff to all of you who bet fives. Do you have the names of the people that were waiting for money? Yeah, sure. Yeah, just real quick. Yeah, these are the people who can expect to get money.
All right, $5 bets. Linda and Will, David Stair, Ray Wayne, Enid Bourne, Vinny Taglarino, Maria Garcia. Mary Jo,
Capizzi,
Nelson Echeverria, Mike Robinson, T. Jennings.
Terry, I think Jennings.
Glenn Stewart, and the $10 bet was Mindy.
every year, somebody comes here as our national representative. And you can never tell, you know, how it's going to go and what it's going to be like. And they're all good, but there are some that are very special. And the director of strategic communications in Baltimore is one of those special folks. Please put your together and welcome back with me, Anil Lewis.
I'll be brief. Those are the last famous words of a Southern Baptist preacher. I'll be brief. You missed the football game. There's no fried chicken left when you get out of church. Exactly. NFB of New York. Okay, there's four people. That's wonderful. Now, I was just curious. This has nothing to do with my presentation. But is it New York City that's the Big Apple, or is it the state that's the Big Apple? Okay, thank you. I was just checking.
The apples are growing up here. At least
good enough. I understand. This is going to be a tough crowd, I can see.
You're up to
it. Exactly. Maybe I should have had a drink. One of the hardest tasks in serving as national rep is the banquet speech. Some individuals have a style about them that is reminiscent of a Tim Brooke or Jernigan or Maurer. I don't profess to be in that particular league. I think my strength lies on my personal experience with the organization, and I like to try to share my personal experience because I know that we all have a story, and I'm hoping that by sharing a little bit of me, what I learned from the organization and how I feel about the organization, that it'll inspire you to do the same. So my goal here is not so much to be inspirational, but if you're inspired by something I say, then all the better. My goal is not to be educational, but if you learn something while I'm doing this, then that is good as well. My goal here is to be an example in showing what I do, my flaws and imperfections, as well as my triumphs and successes. I hope that you understand, much like I learned coming into this organization, that we're all human with extreme potential. And that potential is manifest due to the National Federation of the Blind. Now, before I get started, I have to always give greetings from Dr. Maurer, who I'm sure would love to be at every convention, and who, in my stead, would give a tremendous, motivational, moving presentation. But it is my job to feel this responsibility in his stead. I'd also like to give my sincere appreciation to your president, Carl Jacobson, who's been a tremendous mentor for me, whether he knows it or not. His humor and his commitment and passion about this organization proves him to be a very balanced person, and I think that we as an organization are better for having him as one of our leaders. Carl, the fruit of what you do is demonstrated throughout every person in this room. The hard work and effort that you put forth toward growing the New York affiliate is manifest in so many people here today, and I'm just extremely proud to call each and every one of you a member of my Federation family. So I want to share, and I want to tell you just point blank, I believed that blind people had no capacity. And then I became a blind person. So if you understand what that means that I had the perception that blind people had no capacity. And then I became a blind person. The natural progression would be, so then you change your perspective. No. When I became a blind person, I still believed blind people had no capacity. All right, I saw Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, but I had no musical acumen. You know, I played the cello. That's not going to get me on BET. My brother and my sister, you've heard the story at National Convention if you were there, or you've heard in previous presentations. They both worked at the Georgia Industries for the Blind. Up until that point, I thought I was going to be a double E major, meaning an electrical engineer. And I lost my sight, and I thought I was going to be relegated to working at the Georgia Industries for the Blind, sewing kit bags and putting J-spoons in bags. I believed blind people had no capacity. And then I became a blind person. I often reflect on that and wonder whether Jacobus Tinbrook, before the tragic accident with the arrows had the same dilemma. I wonder if the founding father of our organization, prior to him becoming blind due to a result of an accident of an arrow, thought that blind people had no capacity. And I often wonder if, when he became a blind person, if he still had that same dilemma. If he still felt that blind people had no capacity, and now he's one of those blind people and no longer has capacity. Whether he did or not is irrelevant, really, because we recognize as an organization that if he did, he overcame it very quickly. There is no more tremendous demonstration of the capacity of blind people than Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook. In 1940, he brought a group of like-minded individuals together to found the National Federation of the Blind. In addition to all of this, you guys know the story. Jacobus Tenbrook, tremendous constitutional scholar, law professor, an extreme, tremendous example of the demonstration of the capacity of blind people. I don't know how long it took me to come to a perception that blind people had capacity, but I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I had the slow, progressive transition into believing in not only myself, but in my Federation brothers and sisters. But we every day have to face the same stereotypical lack of capacity that society has related to blind people every day. And they believe wholeheartedly that we have no capacity or little capacity. The statement is, if we start believing that little can be accomplished, then little is the best that we can accomplish. That's the philosophy I had when I became a blind person, that little could be accomplished. So that when I was able to accomplish that little, I thought it was tremendous. I went through vocational rehabilitation and I learned Braille because someone told me that I needed to learn it. Thank God that they did. But unfortunately, they didn't set a high expectation for my performance in Braille. So I took a Braille class and was reading 33 words per minute. So I thought little could be accomplished. And 33 words was little. So when I accomplished it, I thought I was awesome. I'm reading 33 words per minute in Braille. I am the man. I thought little could be accomplished. So when I was able to go from one location to another location using my telescope and my short white cane, I thought I was somebody. Hadn't heard about the Federation, hadn't heard about the long white cane. But luckily for me, there was a man by the name of Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, who believed that given the proper training and opportunity, that the blind can be equally competitive with the sighted. Luckily for me, those individuals that were part of this organization found me and told me that I could be better than 33 words per minute. Told me I could do better than route travel using a short white cane. I think they call them gut busters. And luckily for me, later in life, and this has happened since the last time I was here in New York, they encouraged me to go to Louisiana Center for the Blind. So I went to Louisiana Center for the Blind in January, and you know, Dr. Joanne Wilson, founder of the Louisiana Center, has a philosophy. She says, break them down and then build them up. And that was necessary for me because, like I said, I thought I was the man. So to go in that environment and recognize that there are people that are so skilled that they can read Braille at 250, 300 words per minute was very humbling. Recognizing that someone could give me an address and point me in the direction and say go and I could find it was tremendously empowering. Standing behind those power tubes to take three long boards of cherry wood and turn them into a 2-foot tall mantle clock was a tremendous accomplishment. I thought I had all the computer skills I needed, but I sat in front of that computer and I already had Word skills. They opened up Microsoft Excel, whole new world. Didn't know that a blind person could put together a PowerPoint presentation. It's all because we set the high expectation. Sure, we accept you where you are, but we're not going to let you rest on your laurels. We challenge each and every member of this organization to be the better person. And luckily for me, I was challenged to do that. You get to a point where you have to reflect and you see where you've come from. I believe there was that blind people had no capacity, and then I became a blind person. I demonstrated little capacity, and then I became empowered by the National Federation of the Blind. And then I realized that the sky is the limit. You guys may remember in one of Dr. Maurer's banquet speeches, I love this phrase. He looks out across the audience and he says, "Oh my, a whole bunch of blind people." Well, in the beginning, I would have interpreted that as, "Oh my, a whole bunch of blind people. Who wants to be in that group? Who?" They have no capacity. I didn't want to be a part of this whole organization of blind people because all I saw was blind people sitting around and complaining. And I wanted something positive in my life. And then you know what? I paid attention to what the blind people were complaining about. They're complaining about blind kids not getting Braille in school. They're complaining about blind adults not getting proper orientation and mobility skills. They're complaining about individuals who set a low expectation for blind people, that they relegate them to a class of dependency. And then I realized, you know what? That's something to complain about. And then I learned something even better, that they weren't just complaining. They were changing what it means to be blind. And I came to embrace and love my Federation family, And I stand here and I say, "Oh my, a whole blind people." Before I close, there's a couple things I want to share with you. One of the big benefits that Carl says, when you attend a state convention, you learn a lot. And I learned a lot here. Unfortunately, I don't have the presidency of the Georgia affiliate to take it back to, but being an active member of the Maryland affiliate, hopefully I can be an integral part in bringing what I've learned here. Who knows, maybe in October the NFB of Maryland will be having a horse race. But what I learned more is I learned that the spirit of the Federation is alive. And that's reassuring. Because you guys don't come here because you get paid to come here. You guys don't come here for any other benefit than knowing that what you do makes a difference in the lives of others. And that is such a selfless offering. And that's why I love this organization. I sit here and I eavesdrop on these conversations and I hear people sharing things to make life better. And that's what it's all about. A few people approached me this weekend, and I am all the better for it, because they shared their personal testimony with me. They shared their struggles with me. Hopefully, I share some suggestions on how to make their life better, but in doing that, they made my life all the better. And I thank them for it. For me, you guys shouldn't have done that. All right, everybody, all together now. Ooh. I was in a leadership Georgia class, and one of the closing ceremonies, they had fireworks. And everybody in the class by then knew I was blind. So we're standing out in the open field watching fireworks, and I look up, and I'm saying, "Ooh. Ah," as I hear the snaps and the crackles and the pops. And people are looking at me like, "I knew he was faking." You heard me mention and wonder whether Jacobus Tenbrook had the same feeling of capacity of blind people. You heard me talk about Dr. Jernigan and his philosophy. You heard me talk about Dr. Maurer and the "oh my." I love that phrase. And I can't help but reflect on what Carl's been saying throughout the organization, throughout the weekend. They're individuals that retire, but the organization will not retire. Thanks to the hard work and effort of each and every person in this room, especially the youth, the scholarship winners, the individuals who are going to carry the mantle forward, I recognize wholeheartedly, appreciate, and respect the fact that the glory of the Federation will continue to march on until we reach equality, opportunity, and security. I want to thank you all once again for sharing a little bit of your weekend with me. I hope that my role here has been beneficial. God bless you all. I love each and every one of you. God bless the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
Glory, glory, Federation.
knights are surely here to stay. Our cause goes marching on. Glory, glory, Federation.
It gives the National Federation of the Blind of New York State a thrill and great pleasure to be able to award scholarships each year. Every year, the number differs depending upon a lot of different factors. But, you want to come back to your left. It is our privilege to be able to award scholarships, and we hope these there's nothing attached. They can do whatever they want with these scholarships. So, I am going to call the chairman of the scholar. I just lost. Thank you. Okay. Oh, no big deal. So I'm going to call the chairman of the scholarship committee to join me at the podium here without further ado. And that is, please welcome with me, Ray Wayne. Right here where I am. Can you hear where I'm coming from? I have to step away.
Stuck on this podium.
You know what happens? You have to step away from the mic in order for you to hear. Here's where I am. Here I am. Right? Here we go. And I'll put your hand on the thing. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. You're going to have to talk about
it. It's all right. I'll wing it. It's all right. Nobody. We've got. It's, as I said this morning, it's been a privilege to serve as the chair of the scholarship committee. I always liked Peggy Elliott's concluding remarks during the national scholarship program, that we've given you not only a scholarship and a trip to the convention, but we've given you ourselves. We've given you the National Federation of the Blind, or in this case, the National Federation of the Blind of New York State, which is a part of the family, the nationwide family of the National Federation of the Blind. We have five scholarships, $750, one in the amount of $1,000, somebody to my right said something funny, and one in the amount of $1,250. No, not you had your year. I think you had two, right? And you've heard from all these folks this morning. They've all been, we've had the chance to get to know all of them. A number of them I've known prior to this year, convention. The first scholarship is in the amount of $750 and goes to Amanda Maxson. And Amanda's a member, an active member of the New York City chapter. She won a scholarship last year, and she has been participating in our meetings ever since, and here she is. Are you here?
I first wanted to thank very much the scholarship committee, as well as everyone here for their support. Oops, sorry. As well as everyone here, I'm sorry, not only the committee, but as well as everyone here for their support and their friendship. And as I said earlier, once you're family, you're in for life. And I'm just humbled and honored once again. I've been told I'm a repeat offender. But again, once again, thank you everyone, and to the scholarship committee, it's an honor. Thank you so much.
Next, also a member of the New York City chapter and a, I think, second or third time attendee of this of a state convention, Tommy Needham.
Mic coming through the speaker, it's impossible to hear where we are. Here we go. Come this way.
Oh.
Okay. Here you go. You got it. You got it. Now get close to that mic, if you will.
I'm here, right? You're there.
It's on your left. It's on the left of the lectern.
Oh, the mic. Hello. Everybody,
Make love to that sucker.
I'm going to close my eyes.
Hello. Hello. Okay. I'm holding it. No, I'm just holding it, actually. I grabbed it. I'd like to thank everybody for the honor, and it's actually my second state convention, but it'll be the second of many to come. I'd like to thank old friends and new friends I met this year, and just going to keep doing what I'm doing, getting where I'm going. And God bless.
Next. And I believe she's a also $750, and I believe she's a first-time convention attendee, and I hope to see her at many more, as well as New York City chapter meetings. Valerie, I knew I would do that. Valeria Paradiso.
All weekend, big talker, singer that I am, I cannot think what to say. I'm trying to suppress the shaking in my legs. Thank you so much to everybody in this committee for this incredible opportunity. This will most definitely not be my last convention. Thank you for everything, wonderful experience, wonderful people, such a personalized, family-like organization. So thank you to everybody for this awesome chance, and I hope to see everybody again.
You alto or soprano?
Soprano one.
Oh, first soprano.
Soprano one. Oh, yeah.
No, first soprano. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, next, I think the amount of $1,000, and I think this young lady maybe the youngest of the winners, but she's of the class, but she's also, I think she's also the longest time in the organization. I hadn't, okay. And this scholarship, by the way, is donated by Elaine Rink. And it's only fitting that this young lady should receive it. And that goes to Bridget Walker, who will be starting at, I've known Bridget for a while, but I've really gotten a chance to know her better this weekend. Bridget, you up here?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
There you go. Oh,
okay. She replaced my cane with his dog.
Yes, I did.
Hey, dog face. Not you, Bridget. Hey, dog face. I'm talking to her dog. Be quiet. Nobody ever talks to McCain.
Okay.
Everything you're not supposed to do with a guide dog.
Well, okay. I forgot we have to eat the mic. Okay. Yes, this is about my, pretty sure I'm on my sixth convention. I started coming, like I said, when I was 9. And when I came, I had absolutely nothing. No cane skills whatsoever. I didn't even know what a cane was. I didn't know any Braille, maybe a couple of letters. I was in horrible shape. And my grandmother met Carl, and he turned us around. I am proud to say, because of all that the Federation has done for me, I am now in my first semester at SUNY Ulster. My goal is to become a teacher of the visually impaired with a secondary in assistive technology, and I can guarantee you I am not going to be that person who says to somebody, you have too much vision, you don't need Braille. I will be that person. I will be that person who will make sure that every student who comes through that door leaves with at least a Regents diploma. Thank you so much. I can't begin to tell you how much this means to me. Thank you.
I just want to steal the mic from the chairman of the committee for a second. Bridget, it was either I was going to turn Bridget around or Laura was going to turn me around.
It's true.
I'm sure the suspense is killing everybody. This next scholarship is in...
Harvard graduate would be still be in suspense.
You're right because I always forget who the people are at National, but I do remember, I know all of you. And this next scholarship is in the amount of $1,250. This lady has been an active member in our chapter. I can't remember how long, but a couple, not long, but maybe 2, 3, 4 years. She sets up our refreshment table at the chapter meetings, and more importantly, she's come with us to Washington seminars, to Albany seminars. She's just anything that we've asked her to do. She's soft-spoken. She's quiet. A lot of you who are not in the city and maybe haven't been to Albany seminar or Washington seminar may not have known her very well before this weekend. I hope you've all gotten to know her now. But she is a real worker, and I'm very pleased to give the scholarship to Nihal Erkan.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, I have to swallow it. Maybe you hear my heart beating. I don't know what to say. I'm so excited, and I was scared to come here, what to say. So right now I'm trembling, but I'm very, very happy to be honored for this scholarship. I don't know what to say. That's all. Thank you so much.
Oops, my cane.
That's my cane.
Where's my cane? Oh,
I got a hug from you. Here's the mic. I can have it. Oh,
sure. Okay. Okay, just so you know, she's walking around and hugging everybody. Okay, and Ray, I will hand you back this mic. In fact, I'll put it in the stand for you. Oh, I'm standing on the wire. Okay, there you go.
I knew there was something else I wanted to say. I want to thank the scholarship committee. I'm going to forget somebody. Kate, Romeo, Chancey, Mike, Mindy, Chris, Lucy, Charlie, and I also want to thank Carl for his input, and I also want to thank our committee secretary and everything else, Linda Johnson. Again, this is a great program, and I think my two favorite parts are I always notify the winners after we've chosen them, and I think that to hear the people's reactions, especially this year, when I called each of you, you were just so thrilled, and as well as tonight. And again, I hope that you've taken, and I believe that you have, more than just the, you know, check and a free trip to Albany, but also our organization and ourselves. Thank you again.
Okay. And I just want to add one thing, that we had a contributor to the scholarship program that we don't usually have. We want to thank Nancy Miller of Vision. She personally contributed. It wasn't from the organization. It was from Nancy personally, and we thank her very much. Do I have any more stories? Okay, a story. Maria? All right, Maria, can we get... Okay, hold on. Do we have a microphone for Maria? Yeah, you do, because the internet folks can't hear you. Why don't you come up here? Can you come up here? Okay.
Okay. So after a national convention and talking to Joe Cutter about my daughter being very resistant about using a cane, he suggested to me that I get a cane for myself because she wanted to do everything that mommy does. She was at that age. So we were walking down the street, both of us with our canes, practicing, and I cross the street to go to my car, and I get in the car, and I'm looking at everyone on the street standing and staring at me, aghast. And I'm like, well, what the hell are they all looking at? And then I realize the woman with the cane is getting in the driver's seat.
Just look at it this way. Look at it this way. Anil got into the driver's seat, put some keys in the ignition, and drove around the city street with his car. He drove his car around the city street. Okay, it was our car. When you were in it, I bet it was yours. Yeah. Okay? Laura. Laura's got a story for us.
I don't know where Bridget is, but this was like, she was a whole 7 or 8 years old, and I was taking her up to SUNY Brockport for their camp abilities for the first time. I didn't want to leave her there. I didn't want her to go, but I knew it was important that she stay. So we're walking up the hill. I have things on my arms, and Bridget wraps that cane between my legs, and we both go down. So I said, oh my God, Bridget, look at the hole we put in the cement. So she goes, and she's feeling it, and she says to me, oh my God, Grandma, you must have put your butt there because it's so big.
Thanks.
Oh, those of you who are still assembled, This is my contribution to story time.
Tell me a story, Daddy.
First of all, a preview of my speech next year, I'm going to talk about why I should have learned Braille. Okay, now, it's the first week that I'm in the state Senate, and I'm about 30 years old. And my date, who I'm... currently married to, she and I were invited to a party, and they said someone was coming to take us to the party. It was in New Rochelle. So we're riding up, and the car gets pulled over by the police, and this guy gets out, and he's talking to the police, and then next thing you know, they put this guy in the police car, and he's gone. And we don't know why the police took him away. So the policeman comes up to the window. I open the window, and he goes, "You're going to have to drive this car out of here." I said, "No, I don't think we're going to do that." He turns, he says, "What?" I said, "No, I'm not driving this car out of here." He says, "Get out the car, sir." So I get out the car. I thought, now I'm going downtown with this other. And I swear, he said, "Why can't you drive this car out of here?" I said, "Because I'm blind." He said, "If you bullshit me one more time, you're going to get arrested." And that's my story.
Friends, we thank you so much. I hope you've all had a fun time tonight. We are about to gavel down our banquet for 2011. Thank you all for coming. And we thank all the people who have made this a success. There have been so many of you. I know I'll forget them, but do let me thank Father John and Brian Daniels for being such great sports about all of this. Are you calling my name? Because you only get one more second. The 2011 banquet is now adjourned.
And if you don't